What's that sound? It's ROG.
Duh.
Yes, yes, it's your main man, DJ Techzilla, and you are back for another episode of No Shakes, No Worries podcast. And before I go on, I would like to say rest in peace, DJ Babus. We will miss you. Yes, we have in the building another special guest who has been with us from day one, doing his thing off and on the mic, doing great things, the one and only Feko the MC.
Wagwan, what's good? What's good, Lagos? What's good, Africa? What's good, planet Earth?
What's good, galaxy?
Galaxy.
All the aliens, man.
Yeah, it's nice to be here, Tech.
Yeah. It's like full circle, you know, for us, because we go way back.
Yeah.
Go way back, you know, from 2006?
Five.
Wow, like, I can't even count. I don't know, man. Like, I don't know. Yeah, we go way back. I still remember first time, you know, it was actually via email that we sent records to each other and everything back and forth. And then, you know, everyone was still like finding their feet. Yeah. Everyone was still, you know, checking. We're all sizing each other up. Mm-hmm. Like, okay, this guy's like this. The industry was not what it was then.
Totally different back
like,
then.
Like, bro, there was no Twitter.
MySpace.
If they play your song and you don't listen to it, that's the end. That's the end.
AfricanHipHop.com.
Shout out to African.
Amplify the movement. Juma. You know, to the next time.
Everyone was there. Everyone.
Everybody.
Everybody was there. I'd say that. Everybody. And you know, another thing that I just want to point out. I don't think this is not like a diss or anything, but I feel you're one of the kid rappers. Because you started very, very early.
Yeah.
Like, a lot of people doing
that.
Like,
I was 15. So I was 16. 17,
yeah, it was like our Bow Wow, pretty much. And, you know, and I can see the evolution over the years, like the growth, the change, you know, the versatility and being opened to, how do I call it? Being open to new things, trying out, you know, new things, as opposed to being stuck in one.
Yeah.
In one place rather. So yeah, let's start. You started out like young. You were signed, right?
Okay. Yes, I was signed. In fact, I forgot that I was signed.
Wow, really?
Because the contract was really funny, you know.
As usual.
Yeah. I don't really want to go into it, but I'll just talk about one embarrassing moment I had when I was signed to the label. So imagine being signed to a label and I was saddled with the responsibility to go search for a marketer myself in Alaba. I was in Enugu. I traveled to Lagos from Enugu 2006 after we had done recording the album. The album was recorded by Dekumzi. He produced Brackets, Chimike, and all those other guys in Enugu. So I went to Alaba,
And
By myself. I went out of Albino's shop. I'll call out his name. I don't care. And he was like, sorry, not Albino was cool with me. Tjo, yes, Tjo. I entered Tjo's shop and Tjo was like, I should get out of this shop. I was like, whoa. He didn't even want to like look at my face or know why I was there, you know. Because the tradition in Alaba is you move from one market out to the next shop, hoping that they will fall in love with your demo tape or something. And then they buy it, they give you like an upfront payment or something, you know. But Tjo just told me to get out of it and I was like, wow, this was so embarrassing.
Like, for people who, like, people were...
He was inside. He was apparently counting money.
Okay.
You know, as an Igbo man. And he just told me to walk out of the show. I was like, okay, no wahala. I left. I went to Abu Ventures. Abu Ventures was, like, the only person that listened to us. In fact, he even offered to buy the album. And then I think was willing to pay 500K. It was big money at that time. 500K to buy your album, you know. But then... Label, I don't want to go into the details.
Yeah, no problem.
Since then, I think going independent has really paid off for me, you know, because I had to build my own contact, like my relationship with industry people. You know, Burna Boy said something. He said he didn't take the elevator, he took the stairs or something like that. So I think I belong to that same school of thought. Like, it's better you take the stairs than the elevator.
Yeah, you'll be able to see a lot of things. Exactly. You know, your experiences will be more, how do I call it? It will be more vast, and you definitely value the, you know, the effort and the stress you put into it. You value it more. You value your success more when you go through that route. That's crazy, though. Like, being signed, being independent. Two different beasts. That's the thing. You know, and from there, okay, let's now past that stage, everything, you started working with Terry the Rap Man, you were with them, or Sags, Charles Sags. You guys were on the bands movement, you know, during that time. How was that period, though? Because I was watching you guys from afar, you know, like, I saw people, you guys, you know, doing your thing. So, but like, how was the atmosphere then?
It was awesome, because even prior to me meeting with Terry, I used to roll with a crew then. There was no name for the squad, though, but the name of the record label was Palm Beach Records. Myself, Tunde Ednot, Raga Remy, JJC and 409 Squad. Not JJC, Smokey, who was in JJC and 409 Squad. Master Plan, you know?
Yeah, Master Plan, yeah.
So we used to roll together. So I was exposed to that life already, you know, that going for events at night, Ben TV in, from the UK, they used to cover an event and everything, you know? And when I met Terry, I was like, this was like a continuation of that life. Because we had, I remember we went for several events back then. Terry's album launch at Club 10, Okocha's Club. I remember Keffi of Blessed Memory. Keffi, the gospel artist. She performed that night. And myself, Terry Osags, and Mike Carey, who is also late. We've lost a lot of people. Like, it's... Man, like, it's crazy. It's really crazy, you know.
You know that I totally forgot about
Mike Carey.
Yeah, Mike Carey.
Mike Carey was 14 at the time, and this dude was dropping bars like he was 30.
I remember him clearly.
He just came in from the States then, you know, and I mean, it's really sad that we've lost a lot of talented people in the industry, but I pray that legacy will live on.
Yeah, I pray so.
And R.I.P. to Babu's as well.
Yeah, man. It's been a tough time. Mike Harris' demise was last year, now, if I remember, if I recall.
Gun violence in Ohio.
Damn. Wow.
So, yeah, working with Terry was an experience that I won't forget. You know, he was the first A-list rapper that put me on a mixtape. Because I remember then on MySpace, I reached out to... I think I even reached out to MI on MySpace. I reached out to Iblis. I reached out to, because a lot of Nigerian rappers you know, and Terry was the first to respond to my message. I think Iblis was the next person, and this was like 2005, 2006, and he was like, he's working on a mixtape with DJ Jimmy Jatt.
Nighthouse.
I remember, I think I saw Skills that day. I went there. Even Whiskey 2 was on the mixtape, you know. Shout out to Terry, he's an OG, and I think he hasn't gotten enough respect he deserves, you know, and I pray he gets it.
Pray so too, man, because the guy really, you know, he
put
he was
a whole lot of people on,
always forthcoming and helping people. He wasn't using his status as you know, as a shield, as a front, as like, no, I can't work with you, it's too small for me, you know, that kind of thing. So that's crazy, man. Shout outs to him, man. Shout outs to that. So from there, after that stage,
we now linked up.
I was going to just say that. Yeah, work. I know you worked with Exilla at one point. So I was there.
Rap Logic EP.
Yeah. You know, the funny thing, like, that project was, I pretty much used it as my, was part of my training. Like, when I was in sound,
I remember.
School,
yeah.
When I was in audio school, that was what I was using to play in
Canada.
Yeah, that was in Nigeria when we did that, you know,
because I think I remember the track Future featuring Boogie Price. It was mixed
that
by,
was after
oh that was after yeah that was 2012. The Future was in 2012.
Rap Logic was
2010, 2011.
yeah
yeah
I finished audio school 2011 then, but I was even around all that time when we did Future. Most of our first that set.
That was like your school project.
Yeah, that was like my school project. Yeah, I was using it, you know, to learn, playing it in class. People would listen, you know, studio. Even there was a song, this reggae song that we did.
Ill Meditation.
Like, I remember I was actually mixing it with my teacher.
Song,
yeah. Wow. I mixed it with my teacher. He had like a separate studio that I used to go to after our school. And so I took it there. We're just, you know, trying a few things out. So that's why I always, that project was part of my life pretty much, you know. Like,
I think you had other projects that year too.
I think you did something with
Zone Farm. You did a project with Zone Farm.
Yeah, you know the funny thing, the thing with Zone Farm, we had already recorded it. I think they done most of it.
Oh.
Even 2009-ish. Okay. Because I know I started recording with Zone Farm when I was in London.
Okay.
So that was when they started that mixtape, even the artwork and everything. But it just didn't get released until later. They had already done everything else, you know, we're still trying to pull one or two things together. So they had already done most of it, that kind of thing. But yeah, so Rap Logic, we did Future, we did some other things, you know?
The Future, Rap Logic, Rap Logic Remix, Bass Remix, that had
Terry and Ferocious.
Which other one? Before we now did the Art EP
was 2015.
Yes,
we didn't do anything before then.
In between,
we did
some loose joints. We did
the one with Kenyan MC.
Yes, Real African Poetry.
We did Real African. Oh yes,
Real African Poetry, Real African. Featuring Calligraph Jones.
Yeah, a lot of people.
The whole star, Razor Biza, and Dominant One.
Yeah.
It had the.
There were two versions.
I've always wanted to ask you this question. Can you break down the production process of that song? Because that beat is crazy. I mean, you hear so many sounds. You hear like the Afrobeat sound, and then you hear like boom bap. Everything was all mashed up together.
I think it was the artist that actually influenced the way I produced it, because I don't remember the beat I sent to you guys. Was it just one?
I think it was just one.
The beat was just one.
Yeah.
It didn't switch.
No, it didn't switch. Then I think when you were mixing, you had to like switch.
Yeah,
it
I
up.
Did a lot of post, like a ton of post production on it. Mm. But my thing was, I think it was the artist.
Okay.
Idea for the song was each artist is, it's like a mini movie for each artist.
Okay.
You know, the way they ramp, the way Dominant One started.
Yeah.
You had to feel that type of way because the energy and everything. Mm-hmm. Then your part, I slowed it down a bit.
Yeah.
Riza Biza's part, I broke it down. You know, All Stars part 2 changed. Mm-hmm. Who else?
Calligraph was the first person that started.
Yeah, Calligraph 2. You know,
yeah.
I made some changes there. Just giving each MC like
a mood
so you can even cut if you cut Calligraph's
part
he can stand on his own. If you cut your part, he can stand on his own. That was the idea.
That was genius.
Yeah, that was the idea of that. You know, of that stuff. I think that was when to be honest, I was still experimenting with my production. So so I was like trying new things, like will this thing work? And this might not work, because I think the first Rap Logic, Real African Poetry, the first one was,
it had Cynic from Zimbabwe, it had Fikra Tehule,
who I just
linked up with recently after 10 years.
Is it good?
It's good. In fact, like, he was at, there's this Uncut Awards they had in Nairobi, in Mombasa also, but in Kenya anyway.
Yeah.
So I saw his picture on Buddha Blaze. The person, in fact, I have a very long history with Buddha Blaze. He linked me up with Calligraph Jones. I was the same person that linked me up with this Take Back the Mic competition.
Oh yeah, true.
So he's always looking out for me. I'm like, I'm really, really grateful to have met him. And
did you meet him when he came to Niger?
I was supposed to, but then I had a 9-to-5, and my boss was going to fire me at the office. So
please,
I
didn't get fired.
Even
man.
I met your Deborah too when he came to Lagos. Like a lot of these people, I didn't get to.
Because I met Buddha Blaze when he started. You know, was the one that brought WAPI. Niger.
Oh, the British Council event.
British Council event. Okay. That's where I met him.
Wow.
That's where I met Buddha Blaze.
What's up with WAPI?
They don't work in Nigeria anymore.
I was hoping you drop some bars. Like, so what's up with WAPI? Like, maybe it's WAPI.
Shout out to WAPI. Like, it was a good experience, man. Nothing bad about them. So, after that, it was after Art EP, you took a break now.
Right. Yes. After Art EP, I took a break. And I think I had to switch it up. Like, I was not experimenting with other sounds.
Yeah.
I did some Afro beats. So finally.
Finally. I remember finally. STO. Shout out to STO.
I played that song for Tega at Mavins on Friday. Because I was at Mavins on Friday. We had a pretty insightful conversation with him. Like, talking about music business and all that. And when he heard the song, he was like, this song sounds like something from a different era. You know, he could tell because he listens to music a lot. And he was like, I think he recorded this song 2015. So, I don't know how people tell the time.
Yeah, you can tell. Like, with the way... That was the thing that was popping at that time, I remember. You know?
But to some people, they feel like the song was just recorded yesterday.
Yeah, some people... But there are people like, when you listen to songs, like you're always listening to, you can tell like this song, it might have just come out, but most likely they recorded it a while back.
Yeah.
You know, there's a lot of people record like 2 years ago, they'll just bring it out. So you can tell.
Because I have intention of like remixing some of my old songs, because I feel a lot of people didn't really listen to most
of my past projects. Possible. They can switch it up, you know, use this modern era stuff and just switch it up a bit.
And then I think I did a cover for Humble by Kendrick Lamar.
Oh yeah, I remember that.
I also did like an animation video for that song myself. Yeah. And that was like my first attempt at animation.
Okay, yeah, I remember that with the fire.
Yeah.
People with fire on their head.
I'm trying to sell my market. So in case anybody wants to do that animation video, holla.
People try to eat.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's all good though.
It's been an interesting journey, you know.
Yeah.
And a lot of things have changed. The hip-hop scene in Nigeria too has changed, you know.
Yeah, like totally. Pretty much. You know, you should be doing drill music now, you know. You should be doing a lot of trap, you know, a lot of that kind of thing. I'm just messing with you. Because if you remember, like, when it came to CC, where Moti Cakes, Moti Cakes, stick around for this story. That was the time we were planning on doing the
RTP. We were recording Fela Bus Rides.
Yeah, Fela Bus Rides. Then, he pretty much A&R'd the song.
He did.
And it was like, yo, go this route, blah blah blah. And it worked.
Honest, like, be honest, I will never forget that.
Yeah.
I will never forget that. And apart from that song, like, I started switching up my
And I'm, you know, like us, we are always open to ideas. Mm-hmm. That's why it was like open to let people hear what do they think about this. How can we make this record better?
Yeah.
That at the end of the day, the record just has to be good, regardless of how you feel about it. Like, no, it's my record. No, it must not be like this. Because listening to him at that time when he mentioned like go this route with this record to make a lot of sense. Boom.
I was glad I listened. Boom. Honestly, shout out to Moti Cakes.
That's it. Boom. Like straight up.
Yeah.
Because let me just say a little story about that song. That beat actually, like, I started working on it with this Kenyan producer. What's his name? Nali Katana. I met him in Canada. So I used to go to his house like maybe every Friday. We used to do this live beat making stuff for people to just tune in and everything. So that was one of the beats. I started making the beats and just add something. You get. But we never got to use it for anything, so I kept it.
Okay.
Then I brought it here. Then we pretty much revamped it when Moti heard it and everything. We pretty much revamped it. So at the end, like, some beats I make them years ago.
Oh.
But over time, when it finds the right artist on it, you can now change things. That's the beauty about like beats and everything. So no beat is actually wasted. It's just that you haven't found the right person for it. So that's just me breaking down my process. So yeah, you went on an hiatus from music to focus on getting money.
You know,
like you should. Nobody wants a broke. Priorities, man.
I'm the firstborn. You know, a lot of responsibility.
Yeah, that's right. I get you pressure like that, and everything.
And then school as well.
That's crazy.
I had to finish up with that.
Juggling school, you know, working, you're doing a lot of things besides music, you know. Like you said, the animation.
Yeah.
Used to do art covers.
Of course.
I remember. Yeah. I remember. What else did you used to do? your podcast.
I have a podcast.
Yeah, please tell us about your podcast.
Surviving the Cold with Feko. Oh, wow. That's the name of the podcast.
So you guys just talk about surviving. You guys should bring me on, man. Let me give you stories, man. We actually planned. I've been wanting to get on. It's just, you know, scheduling and all that.
We could even record today. It depends on your schedule, but...
Oh, just randomly like
that.
Let's see how it goes now. So, yeah. Hiatus for music. Did you drop anything before... Before we get to take back the mic?
Yeah.
What did you put out a single or something, did you?
I did covers. I think the only cover I did last year was Burner Boy's Collateral Damage.
Okay.
So that was during COVID.
Yeah.
You know, so the visuals, I did the visuals myself.
Okay,
I think that was pretty much what I did music-wise.
But you did some... You did visuals for this lady rapper. What's her name? Mischief.
Oh, yeah. I did a video for her.
Yeah,
an animated video.
Which you produced. Yeah, which I produced. Yeah. There was something else you were meant to do, but I guess because you didn't have time. There was another animation.
Is it Adventures of Mazi Feko?
No. There was something where you... I think someone wanted you to do animation for them.
Oh, that was... what's her name? The girl Mischief featured on the song.
Oh, yeah. Tipsy.
Tipsy, yeah. So I was supposed to make a video for her, but then I wasn't chance, so I just had to like do a refund that.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. But now I'm back, you know.
So yeah, if you guys want your your animated visuals, just holler at Feko, man. He has a good discount, I guess. A good price. Let's not say discount, you know. Good price. So you guys get your stuff. So yeah, let's get back to winning. You're a winner, you're a champion, you know, you won. Take back the mic. This is the
inaugural season Africa.
In Africa.
It started in Kingston, Jamaica.
Oh wow.
In 2015.
Who won that one? Do you know?
I can't remember the name.
Okay. No problem.
But I'll do my research. But I think
where else have they done it besides Jamaica?
So not just Jamaica, like South America.
Oh, okay.
Just like here in Africa, where they had people from Kenya, Nigeria, Ghana.
Okay, it's like a region.
So in South America, they had people from Colombia. They had people, I think, some guys from Colombia won in 2015. And they had people from Kingston, Jamaica to also participate. And I think they did the finale in Miami. And they picked the winner. So this is like the first edition in Africa. And from the look of things, I think another edition will be holding pretty much later in the year.
Oh wow.
So people should download the app, the Take Back the Mic app, and log on to the website takebackthemic.com, you know, to check for updates from time to time. And I believe when it's time for them to announce the next edition, to be up on the website so that people can register.
A quick story about that. Actually, Buddha Blaze sent me the he sent me the details about the competition and everything, but I'm like, I'm not an artist. Because I know they said they wanted, even, you don't have to be an artist.
Yeah.
You don't have to be
the five elements of hip hop.
Yeah, you don't have to be a musician, per se.
Breakdancing.
DJing.
I don't think there was any DJ.
No, there was, actually. Yeah, that's why
they scrapped the category.
Yeah, because nobody.
Yeah, no DJ.
If I joined, I could have been the only one.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
But at the time when I was having some other things I was tied up with, and I was having issues with the app as well.
Oh wow.
I couldn't get it on my iPhone and everything, and I was like I don't really want to put myself into it, you know. So that's why I didn't, you know, sign up and everything. But I mean, it's a good thing though.
It is, actually. Yeah. Because I sent the link to other rappers, you know,
and they didn't,
you know,
nobody cared.
I even sent it to as far as some of my friends in Zambia, you know, someone from a clique we all know.
Yeah.
You know, but everybody was like, do they really need to go for a competition now?
Yeah.
And then I remember the story of This Smoke. I said this on the show at Max FM on Friday.
Mm.
You know This Smoke?
I know This Smoke now.
Yeah. His brother is Sa.
Yeah, Sar.
Yeah, and Sar is like more popular than Dismo.
Yeah,
you know, before
they're all in their 30s now.
Exactly.
Dismo, yeah.
So like after Dismo went for this competition, I can't remember
that. Yeah, that I know that competition.
Hip hop, something.
Yeah, yeah.
Rhythm and flow.
Flow. Yeah.
Yeah, rhythm and flow. He won the competition. The following year, he got nominated for a Grammy.
Imagine.
Who knows? He might win the Grammy this year. You know. So I feel it was that platform
that raised the status,
that launched his
career, status, pretty his career. Much.
So I thought of it.
Maybe
like,
because people. The thing is, to be honest, I wasn't looking at it like I was beyond the competition.
Yeah.
Our technical issues, first of all, with the app and everything.
Okay.
Like, I tried getting many times because I know Budapest sent it to me and everything. I tried getting it, but I just could not get it. And then again, I wasn't sure how I would approach the whole thing. That's why I kind of backed off from it. It wasn't like I looked at it like, nah, I'm bigger than this competition and everything.
Because I believe the next edition will be bigger than
exactly because people are seeing it.
Yeah, people are paying attention.
I'll be like,
now.
Wow!
Now imagine if it got aired on Nigerian TV. In Nigeria, the media partner, the only media partner was Beat FM, Megaletrics, Beat FM,
wow.
Nigeria FM.
FM that.
Yeah, but in other African countries, Citizen TV in Kenya.
Everybody
was East. Like I have love messages from East Africa.
Imagine.
Like I gain more fans from East Africa.
So, bro, that's the way.
So imagine now if maybe Hip TV or MTV decides to air the next edition, it's going to be mad.
Boom. And they will definitely bring you
of
on,
of course,
as the first,
you know, pioneer.
Yeah, pioneer, and OG, young OG. They will bring you on now. You'll be there, you know, doing your thing. So I mean,
it's a good look for the industry. It's a good look for hip hop, you know, because at a point I was wondering, apart from Battle of the Year, apart from Music Lounge, apart from WAPI, apart from Club Rockaway, which other hip hop events popping back in the day?
No.
Then we had like the mixtape launch and the album launch from various artists.
Oh, okay, just normal.
So apart from all, I was hoping that someday another event, you know,
yeah.
I was happy that I take back the mic.
At least it happened, you know. It gave platforms to all these other artists that I mean I saw like a lot of dope artists there doing their thing. And which is
shout out to Black Salmist, shout out to Young Paddy.
Oh yeah, Young Paddy, yeah. Shout
like,
out
I learned so many things from these other guys, to be honest, you know. I'm glad I'm the winner, but then I still don't mind collaborating with most of them because everybody brought something different to the table.
To the table.
You know, Young Pabby brought the theatrics
with
his rap flows and everything, and that was pretty much unique.
Dope. So you pretty much what was I even?
We're talking about the, like take back the mic and
about. Well, I mean, just collaborating with people and which you've always been doing anyway. Like, I don't think I know any other Nigerian rapper that's done collabs like that much collabs outside Nigeria. Because you have to understand, like you did Zone Fam, Zambia, you did with
Calligraph
Jones back then. Did with Shoe Kid.
Yeah,
Shoe Kid is Kenya too.
Yeah, he just dropped an album, by the way.
Shoe Kid is dope, man.
Yes,
Shoe Kid is dope. Rise Up Pizza.
Yeah.
Now how hard it is to get Rise Up Pizza?
You sorry?
How hard it is to get Rise Up Pizza, man?
It's in a different league, right?
Yeah. Guys are popping, man. Rise Up Pizza. Who else? Dominant One. I mean, Dominant One is fam anyway. Always fam. And you know Five Steez now. Jamaican MC.
Yeah. He also participated in Take Back the Mic.
Did he?
Yeah.
You sure?
2015 edition. Yes.
Oh, 2015 edition. Yeah. Oh, wow.
From Jamaica, right?
Yeah. Five Steez. Five Steez is my guy now. Shout out to Five Steez, man. He's my guy. You know, he's doing his thing. I did some collabos with him. But it's just unfortunate that the collabos we did just didn't come out.
Why?
Man, well, it's not up to me.
Okay,
that's the thing. It wasn't
like with the production and everything.
Yeah, the production. It wasn't even up to him. There was always a third party. That's what I'm trying to say. Like, let's say it was me and him. I say, yo, Steez, let's work. You guys will definitely hear it, which will happen soon. But most of the time, the collabs, like, well, the two times we worked, the collab. Okay, just one. I think it was only one that actually came out, because we did it with it was this Nomadic Wax.
We did
it with, like, wow. I think that was the first time I worked with Five States Nomadic Wax, which they put out and everything. But the recent
just
one,
bringing back memories. Nomadic Wax. Yeah. Have Plenty Music.
Have Plenty. Wow. Yeah. Yay.
Okay, Africa too.
Oh yeah, Africa. Yeah, yeah. Shout out to them too. You know, they help.
What's supported. Happening these days? Like,
yo, you have to get on the A list. I'm not even mad at anything. You know? I just do my. The thing is being consistent. Mm-hmm. That's the thing. Like, I don't bother. Some blogs don't post. Some do. Hey, you have to keep on pushing. You can't say because one doesn't. Because
I believe people are watching. Let's forget about numbers. Thing. Whether you have zero likes, just keep pushing your brand.
People see.
Yeah, consistency is all that matters.
That's it. That is it. You just have to keep on pushing. Mm-hmm. So all these other things, don't let these other distractions, you know, keep you away from doing what you're meant to do.
True.
That's what I say.
And I would like to tell anybody listening, like any aspiring rapper out there or artist, like, there are like four important things they need to take note of, you know, when they are launching their careers as an artist. They need to have a story. Story is very, very important. You know, your come up story could be about your community, about yourself. And then they need to have a good team behind them. They also need to have a good brand identity.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And of course, they need to have like the skill, which is very important. And, you know, other things like financial backing and the grace of God, ultimately.
Well, inshallah, I'm vibes.
Yeah,
man.
The grace of God is an important thing.
Yeah, it happens. I mean, that makes sense, though. I'll definitely have to list out all the things you said in just for people to hear.
It was after my meeting at Mavens.
Yeah.
My mind got open to so many things. You know, I looked at music from a different perspective now. Like,
but it wasn't like you were looking at it from a narrow perspective.
No,
anyway,
I wasn't. But now it's broader.
I get you. Because
like, wow,
you've been in the game.
I was in statistics and whatnot.
You've worked with Mode 9. You've worked with. You've worked with Ublish now. Have you done a record with Ublish?
No, we've not done a record, but we've been in the same space before. I was in this video for Anamachukwan featuring Fino.
Oh, wow.
Myself and Five Mics. A lot of people don't know this.
Shout out to Five. Yeah, shout out to Five Mics. I'm working on a project with Five Mics. I'm just throwing that out there. Mm. Just, yeah. So.
But it's not in Nigeria.
Yeah, it's in SA. Okay. It's in SA.
Sadly, we didn't make it to the final cut of the video. The Anamachukwan video.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. We spent all night, though. We're there overnight.
Seriously.
Outside. Clarence was shooting, Fino was shirtless, you know, everybody, the weather was like very cold and everything. They had burning tires. I won't forget that experience. Car smashing through the wall.
Yeah, that
was like,
crazy.
Clarence is crazy.
Clarence was doing mad things, man. Mm-hmm. Man, that was dope. Like, you worked with like the OGs and everything. Mm-hmm. So you definitely have like a broad view of the industry anyway.
But I think the business part is something else.
Yeah, that's another beast. Yes. Yeah, that's another beast on
a different
on its own.
Sector entirely.
Because as an artist, that side really takes up a lot of time, you know.
Yeah.
Like, to be honest, that kind of like affect me, because you can't deal with it halfway.
Yeah.
You get working as an artistic person, then being business minded is hard to mix both. It's very, very hard, because, you know, creatives, we think differently.
True.
We think differently.
So know. Most creatives employ the services of others.
That's the thing. Yeah, like someone that is, you know, that
but I think it's also key that you should understand.
You should know,
yourself,
you know, the fundamentals.
You,
Yeah, you know the fundamentals. Know what exactly this whole thing entails, which would definitely go a long way in helping you as an artist.
Let's talk about collaborating with foreign artists.
Yeah.
So recently,
yeah,
some foreign artists, they charge a lot of money from Nigerian rappers just to drop a verse on their songs.
Shaking the table.
No, I have to talk about this.
Yeah.
What's your take on that? Like, do we necessarily have to pay like $10,000 to get a verse from the game?
No.
Nas, so that we blew or something.
I mean, getting a verse from them doesn't necessarily guarantee you success, you know. Like, I mean, I've been in that space where I thought, you have to, once you get it, but really, it doesn't really, to be honest, there's no clear-cut answer But the truth is, you shouldn't spend that much too.
True, it's excessive.
Very excessive. There's no point. There's no guarantees in music. You know, there are people
and
that
then
make.
The other question is, most of these A-list rappers, like from the States, they like collaborating with our pop artists.
Anyways, so
all of them have collaborated with most of our pop artists.
Because
most of them rather,
they'll rather collaborate with someone that maybe is on that level or slightly higher from the other region they are working with, so that will give them leverage. Everybody's trying to leverage each other. That's why sometimes when you reach out to some artists, they just ignore you. I mean,
see Nicki with Davido, Rick Ross with P-Square, Busta Rhymes with
Nas and Davido.
Yeah, Nas and Davido. A lot of them, man, you hardly see.
Yeah, because our MCs are not, you know.
You're saying we don't have the same numbers.
We have MCs, but MCs, maybe they're not forthcoming. I'm not blaming them. I'm just saying that the whole situation, maybe they're just not forthcoming. Things are not just in the right place for them. And then again, most of these artists, they tend to charge big names, you know.
So.
You charge like a couple of G's. Can't waste 10 G's on. I'd rather go for some of the MCs that I know, like, correct. I'm building relationships to go a long way. I can tell you that, like, most of the collabs I did, it's more of
like the one with Cannibus,
you know, relationship with someone,
wow,
you know, that kind of thing. Like, I know someone that knows someone, like I said, it was more of a relationship with someone. Like, the guy, like, is my family friend, just called me up.
Oh, wow,
it was like, yo, he likes Cannibus and Mode 9, so he wanted me to do a song with Cannibus and Mode 9, and I'm a fan of both, so it kind of makes sense. I was like, yeah, sure, like, why not? Let's do it. So he just linked.
Awesome.
And everything, and I pretty much became, I don't chat with Cannibus all the time, but like, at least we have a rapport to some degree, you know, to some degree, that kind of thing. And even most of the other artists to that work is like, I've done something for them. I'd rather be like, you know what, let me help you do this stuff, you rap, and, you know, whatever, we just, if we have to sign space sheets, fine, you know, will make it work as long as both parties are happy. You get, although I don't mind, sometimes I pay for features, but not so much.
Yeah,
it's only select people, you know, because again, everyone has to support each other. Some of them, they need money.
Yeah,
that's just the truth, and that's just how it goes. But Niger artists, I did reach out to some Niger rappers, and nothing. But anyway,
you want to mention names?
No, there's no need.
Not necessary. Absolutely not necessary.
Yeah, it's very honest. There's no point. There's no hard feelings. There are people that reach out to that. All that rappers that you know that reach out to me. That be like, let's work. But nothing comes out of it. And I'm not stressed out. Like, when we have to work, we have to work. Like, Ill Bliss has been telling me he wanted to work with me for many years.
Before you guys worked on that.
Before we worked in the Zilla. Like, many years. Many years. As a matter of fact, the funny part about it was when I started working with Monai on Esoteric Mellow.
Okay.
And it was after that I started working on Elizilla. So it was kind of weird because, you know, people were thinking, why are you just switching? But it was spur of the moment type thing, like, yo, let's just do this thing. So we pretty much locked ourselves in the studio for that. It was during December, and we just stayed in the studio pretty much every day.
Wow.
In the studio, a week, sorted everything out, got the features, you know, got Flow. Flow had to come from work.
What's up with Flow?
Yeah, she's good, you know, she, you know, doing her thing. She dropped her EP last year.
Okay.
EP last year, and you know, she's doing her thing. That's what I can say. And she's on my project with Mr. Books. I have a project with Mr. Books. She's on the song there, you know, and as usual, she killed it. That's what I have to say.
I like her verse on the NSC cypher.
Oh, yeah,
Came through as usual.
as expected now.
As usual, I think last time I saw her was at Battle of the Year.
Wow, that's a
when she performed.
Time ago. I don't even remember. The last Battle of the Year, how was it? I wasn't like really fully involved. I DJ'd anyway. I mean, don't get me wrong, but it was just there. Shout out to everyone doing their thing,
Shabby.
Yeah, we have to keep on moving. Everyone's doing their thing. And so yeah, what else? What's next for you? You've been doing a lot of interviews, you know, as a big man. Beat FM, Max FM, Nigeria FM.
Yeah, Nigeria FM. Hopefully this coming week.
This week.
Yeah, this month.
Okay.
I thought we're in February, right? As at the time of.
We're pretty much in February. Oh, okay. Tomorrow is February 1st.
So yeah, I got more interviews coming up.
Okay.
Possibly even when I get to Rwanda, I have like some journalists that are already waiting for me.
Okay. Who is a Rwandan rapper?
It was Reza Biza. You know.
But I just wanted to say.
Yeah,
though.
Like so I've been everywhere now.
Like Reza Biza, Allah the boy. Let's do this thing now.
But Reza is in New Zealand. So.
Yeah, but I mean, he's connected. He has people.
Rwanda roots.
You should buzz him up.
And some of the contestants from Rwanda too. Liu KDH. I'm sorry if I murdered his name. But he's like one real artist I need to work. Although he's in Canada at the moment.
Yeah.
Studying there. But he said when I get to Rwanda, I shall holler at him that he has like his people down
see,
there.
See, when people say, country doesn't matter. Like, bro. You know this, bro. We recorded our first few projects. I was not in the country. You know how we do this thing now. So it's not about you living anywhere. Let's make this thing happen. Make it happen. So what
I have planned for?
Yeah. Tell us your plans.
Well, like I've been saying in most of my interviews, when they ask me, I said I have something coming up with Dexilla. I have it on my notepad. Like I have to give a shout out to Texila every interview.
Shout out to Texila, man. You know,
so yeah, we've got something coming up too, and I also want to diversify. I want to try short films.
Oh wow!
Not just short films, like making it a web series.
Okay.
Like what Basket Mouth is doing with Papa Denchi, but it might not be comedy. It might be something real life issues. You know, possibly get some partners at UNESCO or something. So I have that planned out already for the. The music as well, EP and an album.
Okay.
I owe my audience an album.
Yeah, because you haven't dropped.
I just have singles littered around the place.
Yeah, singles and EPs.
Yeah,
I have singles.
So I need to drop an album this year by God's grace.
Amen to that.
Amen.
Wait, how many EPs do you have? You have Rap Logic.
Yes.
Was that an EP?
Yes, Rap Logic was an EP.
I thought you had Rap Logic 2.
No. Rap Logic EP.
I'm just checking out. I don't know.
Rap Logic EP, the Arts EP. Before Rap Logic, I had a mixtape, The First Impression.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. You had First Impression. I produced there now.
Yeah,
there's
some
produced.
Songs. Yeah, some
two songs, one or two.
Control the mic, like Fidel Castro, XYZ.
little story about that.
Which other one again?
I didn't talk about
Il Moscatiers.
Oh,
with Ray Diaspora.
That's a song. You know the funny thing?
Let me.
I need to talk about some things. Control the mic. I remember the day we recorded
it. So that Bigfoot Studio.
Bigfoot
Venomous.
Studio. Venomous Mic Works. And that was the first time we met.
Yeah.
I think you came to do something with
I came,
you,
yeah.
With,
so I had a show on. It's not YouTube then, because YouTube wasn't really popping then, but we had a website called Powerhouse Africa. So basically we just go out to interview artists. I had already done an interview with Banky W when he released Ebutemeta that year. So I wanted to like start interviewing hip-hop artists. I had done an interview with OD Mode 9 at New Metro Cinema in Lekki. So I was supposed to record an interview that day with Il Bliss, you know. So after recording the interview, I think I met Venomous. Venomous said he had some. Bigfoot also played some beats for me. I think I ended up working with Bigfoot on a song called Funky Something.
Yeah, I remember that.
Yeah. And then I think you had a beat for me too.
Yeah.
You know, and I recorded that verse that same day.
That's what I'm saying. Like that's what I'm saying. Like I'm trying to explain that song. Like that song, I wasn't expecting to see you that day. But like I was just like, let's record. I was trying to test you actually.
Really?
Yeah, because that was the first time of me meeting you. So I was like, let me check this guy. Let me see if it's good. You get? Because I know me, XY, we're already ready now. We're ready to go. So we're like, let's see. It was me, my idea anyway. It wasn't XY. I was like, let me check this guy. Let's see if it's good or not. So I kind of like put you on the spot, like, yeah, do this verse. Which you did. And I was like, okay, wow. Yeah, that's cool. You know, that's one. Then the Il Moscatiers thing. Wow,
that song
I remember that song. That song.
The samples, the beats.
That
like
song was
I still bump to it like every now and then.
Do you have it? Please send it to me.
I don't
think I have it.
You have some of your songs,
bro.
Yo,
like, I don't control the mic.
Are you serious?
Yeah, a lot. My hard drive crashed.
Oh, that's true.
My very first hard drive.
That's true.
Crashed. So all my stuff from Jan, early days in Canada, everything.
Wow.
Only I was able to only save some, and I don't have control of the mic. I don't have Ill Musketeers, because I know Ill Musketeers was played a lot. Because I remember when it came to Nigeria in
DJ
2010.
Tommy.
Yeah, 2010. There was a day, a random night. I went to the beach with my friends. Mm. We went back to like to drop some of the people that was with us, and we listened to radio, and the song came up.
Wow!
Like people were in the car, I was like, "That's what it took me." In that time, I was just because it was freaking crazy. I was like, on rhythm. I was like, "Yeah, that's me rapping." Yeah, I was so happy. That was crazy. Yeah, you almost get it. Like I totally forgotten about that song till now, though. That was a dope one.
We have a lot of songs.
Did we do a remix of that?
Yeah, we did a remix.
That was a remix
that made it to the mixtape.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
What? I remember the original version too.
Yeah.
Damn. Like, wow. Like, I need someone to remind me. That's I think now, what I'm trying to do is like even collate everything up.
I think you need to shoot a documentary. Texzilla biopic self or a documentary. Let's start with the documentary.
Yeah, yeah.
We'll 30 minutes.
We'll soon get there.
Dive into the history. Because you have so much to talk about.
I can categorically tell you that I've forgotten about that song now. Like, it just skipped my mind. I totally forgot that.
I just remember, like, during our conversation that we had the song, you know?
Yeah.
Like that, so.
That's wild. Drinks. That was wild, man. But yeah, so you're working on your EP, working on an album, short films, you know, you're doing your thing, which is great, you know. I see the evolution, I see the face of a champion, first of all. You're chilling in the building with the winner,
Mike Africa.
Yeah.
And I was on Times Square.
You're on Times Square, man, guy, big things, man. No, man, guy.
I told my friend to describe what Times Square feels like because he's in the US. Yeah. And he said Times Square is like Idumota, but like it's busy like Idumota.
Yeah, very busy.
Like a lot of people doing all sort of things, and then you have like billboards everywhere.
The equivalent of it is, how do you call it, Oxford Road. Yeah, you could say because Piccadilly Circus, Oxford Road, that area in London is very busy.
Mm.
Then if your billboard is there, everybody definitely see.
Wow.
Everybody will see. That's pretty much Times Square is like everywhere everybody is.
Someone said I should make a printout of the.
I'll put it on your shirt.
No, not that. Like when I go to the embassy, like to apply for visa.
Oh my! They go bounce you. Say, guy, my guy, please, I was here. Please let me go. Oh my goodness, man, that's crazy. Oh wow. So yeah, we're about to wrap up. Last few things. What do you want to tell people out there, man? Give them some jewels. You've been dropping jewels now.
More like jewels. Like I said before, it's good to have a story. It's good to have a good team. It's good to have like your brand identity. I'm talking to like artists now, you know, and you know, just remain consistent. It doesn't matter if you have zero likes on your post or anything. Just keep putting our content out there. Keep pushing.
You know,
keep praying for amazing grace.
Live,
you know, all you need today, your head.
Man, don't let your head be dry.
Yeah,
all guys stay there.
Crazy industry, but
yeah, we'll keep on. We'll survive.
Keep pushing
now,
man.
So yeah, that's it, man. Feko, drop your handles. Let them follow.
Yes,
you.
This is Feko, T H I S I S F E C K O, on Instagram, on Twitter, on YouTube. Across all platforms.
So you guys follow him, like all his stuff. He's not about. We're not looking for zero likes. So when you like, comment. That's another thing people
engagement.
Don't do. Engagement.
Subscribe to my YouTube channel.
You don't have to type an epistle. You can drop like my man Moti Cakes. You can drop barrels. You know, it's not for you to put fire on no barrels to explode. That's the idea. Engagement. Always drop a comment, say something, let people know that you know this guy. Tell people
tell
about
a friend
him.
Tell a friend to tell a friend.
It's not hard. It won't kill you.
Abi.
Yeah. It won't kill you. So that's it, guys. We have Feko in the building.
Yes, sir.
And I'm still your main man, DJ Techzilla. Yeah, please, before you go, your podcast, please tell them.
Surviving a Cold. Yeah, Surviving a Cold with Feko. It's on Apple Podcasts, it's on Spotify, it's on, I mean, all the main yeah, podcast streaming platforms.
Okay.
Surviving a Cold with Feko. Also Surviving a Cold on Instagram and Twitter.
Instagram, yeah. So you guys follow the podcast.
And there's a merch too for Surviving a Cold.
You guys support. Go out and buy. It's not hard. It won't kill you. So, yeah, that's it for today. Peace.
This is an exclusive from ROG Music Africa. Don't worry.